Welcome back to the Luke Cage After Show. We're talking about episodes 9 and 10, DMYCK, and Take It Personal. Here we go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey there, Luke Cage fans. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV for the Luke Cage After Show. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. I'm joined by a fantastic panel who's ready to talk about these two episodes, which I'm just like, I need to watch more, but we got to talk about it first. All right. I got Joelle Monique next to me.
Hey, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week on blackgirlnerds.com.
Alexis Torres.
Hey guys, I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me where all shenanigans will start at atorres890.
We got her into the studio.
Yeah!
Jess Klein.
Hey everyone, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Tari Miller on assignment, teaching the youth to defend themselves. Which is actually accurate. I think he's teaching karate. No, but it's also ridiculously appropriate for these episodes.
Cheers.
About people needing to defend themselves.
He and Danny Rand are teaching martial arts to children.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yes. So much yes. all right. Wow.
Yep. Got a word for it.
Yep.
It's a lot of stuff going on in these episodes.
An amazing amount of stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's start
Where do you start?
What do you want to talk about?
Let's start with Misty Knight.
Oh, I would love to start with Misty Knight.
Yep. Don't we all? She would be the first. Don't we all? Let's do it.
Oh man. So she's being like semi interrogated, semi
psychoval
therapist.
Yeah. It's very unclear to me, anyhow. Where this guy stands. His therapy style is aggressive.
Yeah. Very aggressive.
I don't know, but Missy's aggressive and she's a cop, so maybe this is a cop thing?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen what a cop psyche valve looks like, sure. But I don't know, I guess it must be really hard to get through them because they've seen so much.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, according to him, he doesn't even work for the police. He's a pure volunteer. That is there just to let her talk to him, is what he said. But it didn't seem like that. It seemed like he was there to get answers. Yeah.
Well, two things disturbed me about him. One, the presentation of the lemonade cans was very unsettling to me to bring up such a, like, you could just talk to her about the dark past thing that happened to her instead of being like, oh, here's some lemonade. Maybe, does that jog memories for you? Is that triggering for you? And then the fact that he just blatantly lied about the fact, like you can just fess up. Be like, I mean, we are in an interrogation room. Like, it's what it is.
Yeah.
You don't go into a room with two-way mirrors
and like, assume there's no one on the other
side. Yeah, watching or listening.
Yeah, like he like jotted down a note when like she was like yelling at the mirror.
Glass, yeah.
Almost like he's like, subject seems paranoid. And it's like, no, subject is very observant.
Yeah. Subject knows the game, okay? She's played this.
Yeah,
she
hasn't been on both sides, but she's been on the other side of that table where he sits.
I like how, you know, they obviously, she was able to say, like, I need a break. And she was able to open the door, so she wasn't locked in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you still felt like she was locked in there. Mm-hmm. And it was stuff like, when she reached for the lemonade, she reached for it with both hands like she was handcuffed, even though she was not. And everything she did like she was handcuffed, but she was not. It was a really kind of great, like, little way to make it feel like she was locked in there, even though she wasn't.
Mm-hmm. And she definitely was locked in there in a, like, as far as being cornered mentally. Like, you will just be at a desk. You will never see outside unless you go to the parking lot. And we know that what Missy likes most is just to be out in the field. She's so good at, like, she knows the community, as she said. And we saw her with the kids playing basketball. She knows how to, like, handle herself out there. And she knows how to get answers without harming the community. And she sees herself as a vital part of it. So to say, you know, you could do this or we'll take you off the streets, it's not really an option for her at that point.
Yeah, I mean, they said, like, she has the skills and the credibility at this point that she theoretically could have gone either to a more, a bigger district, downtown, or she could have gone federal. Like, basically, they're saying, like, you have the talent to go and the drive to go, like, to the FBI.
Yep.
But she chooses to stay in Harlem because, much like we've seen with so many characters in these Netflix shows, like, they care about the place that they're from. They want to make the place that they live a better place, not just find a way out. That's such a defining role for the people in New York City, because New York City is like, people love New York. Like, if you live there, you love it, or you'd leave.
I've seen it on t-shirts.
What?
I said I've seen it on t-shirts.
Oh, stop it.
It's cliche to say, but like, much like how Hell's Kitchen is a character in both Daredevil and Jessica Jones, Harlem is very much a character in the series, and it's very much like the fight for the soul of Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so you can tell that Misty is on the side where she is trying to protect the people she cares about, and that speech that she started where it was like, "I applied foot to ass and matched lead for lead," was such a good speech.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these Netflix shows should be winning awards.
Yeah.
Like, that was an amazing speech, and it was so stirring, because at the same time, in the background, it was her in an interrogation room.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's not the criminal. She's the one who's been cleaning up the streets.
Yep.
And yet, she is the one stuck in this room. It was an amazing moment. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I don't seek justice. I stalk it.
Yeah.
Get it, Missy.
That line was so good.
Oh, so good.
Bam! Oh, man. But, like, these episodes have a lot of Misty sort of deconstructing and figuring out what's going on with everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I gotta take this hoodie off.
It's hot.
It's very warm.
It's very warm. Yeah.
I liked how when he showed her the picture, you saw how her power could work against her.
Yeah.
Like, her ability to, like, delve into a picture. Because now it's a picture of herself during a traumatic time.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you saw her do the same thing that she did before with other crime scenes, where she'd, like, re-experience the crime scene, except now she's re-experiencing her own crime scene, where she was already, like, traumatized.
Yeah, and I also liked, like, the editing of her when she got back from her break and just let everything out, and how she was feeling and how it was cutting when she was still talking, even though her mouth wasn't moving.
Yes.
Like, it showed the fact of someone's vulnerability or someone who went through a traumatic experience, their thoughts are just rolling, and it doesn't stop. So even if you want to stop talking at this point in time, it doesn't matter. Your mouth's just kind of moving because you're just kind of going. And I really liked that they were able to kind of put that, not dysfunction, but the fact of, like, her world is kind of out of order was really cool.
Amber built it right up to that point where she has the realization, like, oh my God, I was out of control.
Yeah,
and
because
she didn't
realize what was happening, which makes sense. That's what happens to any normal human being who's under stress and also went through a terrible time. I mean, obviously she shouldn't take it out on other people, but she also needed to talk to someone, which we talked about last time. So.
I saw it in the chat, just Renji was asking, like, why does every main cop in a show, especially a female, have a dark past? That's the reason they became a cop. And I like, that's a fair assessment, because it's a very, it's a little bit of a trope.
Yeah.
But I think it is a very realistic trope.
It is,
because anyone, the reason for that, and the reason, like, it almost has to be part a character trait, is that being a cop is a terrible life to live.
As
like,
we explained here,
you're
like,
putting
being
yourself,
on the show.
You're putting yourself on the front lines. Mm-hmm. Like, you're especially nowadays, it's like people, like, you have a target on you, especially in a place like Harlem. Like, you're the bad guy to a lot of people. So there has to be a damn good reason for you to want to do it.
You also see the worst of humanity on a daily basis.
Yep.
You know, there's not a lot of positives. Like, even, you know, the community I grew up in, the police had a very active, like, partnership with people who lived in the city of Portland. And, like, even then, there were only, you know, so many positives, where also there are so many negative things that you see throughout the world. Like, a police officer doesn't have a great life.
Yeah, it was even said, people hate us until they need us.
Yeah.
And that life of just constantly, like, if you've had to work with the public ever in any job, you know, that it's just exhausting. But then imagine dealing with people on their worst day every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's exhausting. And so I really like that, again, and Alexa shared with us a very racist, like, commentary on the show, which by the end is pretty clear. Either the author doesn't understand context or didn't watch the show.
What was the article?
I don't remember the name of it.
So the article was pretty much talking about how Luke Cage is a glorified thug. Mm. That's pretty much what the article was about, and how he's, you know, that they're trying to show, Marvel's trying to show that this guy is just here to rough up cops and do all this and all that. And I'm like, did you watch the show? That is not, that's the opposite. I mean, I'm not going to get into a soapbox matter of it, but it's... I can probably share it on social media after, but it just, it pretty much just showed that they were trying to make Luke Cage into this, and we've also seen other articles where it's like, the show's too black, like it, it's having a negative effect when the whole point of the show was to show that this is actually reality, and if you're not with it, then
and I think they give the cops a really good shake in here, like, the idea of, like, I won't skip too far ahead, but just we see the guy later who arrests the kid and is like, my training officer.
Yeah.
You know, so these familial relationships, and now he's dead from a singular punch, and I need to get this guy, and I think you have information. Like, you can understand the point where, like, emotions would boil over. So I feel like to say that the show is unfair or racist or leaning too far black is just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
And the fact that, like, Misty even brought it up. She was like, you know, we drink when we're sad or we're angry or we screw or no sorry you drink because you're sad or you screw because you're angry or whatever. It's because cops have to see a side of the world that is so terrible and also positive to a point, but they have to deal with that every day. There's no break, there's no day off. It's even if they're off duty, they still have to see stuff.
My general response to this show is just telling a black story is like, of course it is. Which is, like, most stories are white people stories. It's fine that there's a black story in a comic book show.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, what I want to see when I tune into a TV show is I want to see a story that reflects the real world in a very human way. I want to see something that I haven't seen before, but I want to see something that is true to life, even when there is, like, superpowers and ridiculousness going on around it. And that's what this show is. It's showing me a story I have not seen before. Maybe I've seen pieces of it. Like, there are pieces that feel familiar, and the story is not flawless by any means. But, like, this is a story that I have not watched, and that alone makes it something good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, Marvel has precedence with this as well. Like, Professor X was Martin Luther King. And Magneto was Malcolm X. Mm-hmm. Those were the original X-Men stories.
Yeah.
That's what they weren't subtle with it. They called them the X-Men. and the Brotherhood. Like, it wasn't a subtle story that Marvel was trying to tell then.
Yeah.
And so it's not like this is a break from how Marvel tells stories at all.
Yeah. But so anyway, back to these episodes.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot of weird reactions online, but we don't have to get into all those or give them any credence. Like, the show is, like, if it has flaws, that's not one of them.
No. Yes.
Yeah, no.
Misty in these episodes, like, I guess, like, once she gets through the interrogation, and I like that the interrogation sort of, like, was peppered in throughout episode 7 or episode 9.
Yeah.
It made for an interesting through line.
Yeah.
And I do, and then, like, she comes back, like, reinvigorated, basically. Mm. Like, she still doesn't think Luke did it, because it doesn't add up. Mm. And I like that she doesn't fall in line with what everyone else is telling her.
Well, what's cool is that we see that Misty doesn't react to things. Like, everybody else is reacting to a situation. Like, cop got punched, we need to make things happen, we need to take action. That's a phrase we hear a lot. But Misty, as we've seen her do from the beginning, takes a step back and looks at the whole picture. She's trying to put it together. Misty for Detective of the Year. She's so cool, guys. She's my favorite character.
Yeah. This is totally a side note and just for me, but an empowered, beautiful woman from a comic book talking about basketball very specifically is just porn for me. Like,
I love you so much. That was the best phrase I've ever heard about a review.
Like, I was like, Misty Knight is talking about being a point guard and seeing things before. I was like, yeah, this is great. This is a great world I'm living in right now.
What a world to be alive.
Yeah. I mean, the basketball aspect, like, even though I'm not a basketball fan, like, it adds a layer to her character, like, the way that they frame the whole point guard thing.
Yeah.
It's like the person that, like, can see the picture, even if they're not the one executing all of the biggest moves.
Yeah, for sure. And it really added to that character of Misty.
Because
also, they brought the thing where it's like she could see things before they happened. Which is kind of what we're seeing with her. That's why she's such a good detective. She likes being in charge.
Yeah.
And then having that gun, her gun taken away from her and used against her, took all of that power away from her. She slowly had her power taken away because at first it was her best friend, the person she trusted, is not who she thought he was. The person that she also trusted, Luke Cage, he makes the point. She trusted Luke Cage. He's not the person she thought he was either. And so, like, throughout these episodes, in the last episode, Joel, you were making this, that, like, she's slowly just having all of her support systems taken out. Yeah. And this was kind of the peak of that, and we got to see her build back up.
Even her old captain, who she wasn't particularly close to, but it was, like, the last form of, like, relative normalcy within the police station. Like, yeah, now,
and they took
it's
her out.
All faces we haven't really seen before, except for the coroner, right? Body, I don't know what his actual job title is.
Are we talking about
forensics,
the,
I guess?
Yeah, the forensic guy.
There
yeah.
you go. Yeah, everybody else is kind of gone, and we don't know if we can trust forensics guy.
Well, we don't know if we can trust anybody in the police
yeah.
department.
True. Yeah.
He's bringing her Stryker information, though.
Which
so.
Is what yes. made me think that yeah. like, maybe this is okay, but, I mean, Stryker is kind of underground and secretive, even though he's going out and kind of committing these crimes himself.
Which I didn't understand at first, because I was like, if his like file is like super secretive and stuff, but he's just walking around like everything's cool, and I'm like, ha, what?
He used a grenade launcher on a vehicle. Like, that's the least subtle. I can't think of like a more apt analogy of like you used a grenade launcher on an ambulance in the middle of the street. Like,
yeah. Let me rephrase. Before he came onto the show visually for sure. us, he was kind of sneaking underground. You know, he doesn't have a large file.
Yeah.
He was a snake in the grass.
Yeah. Oh, snap. Stop.
God damn it.
I'm just going to start tallying up for the swear jar. I'm just saying.
But I mean, like, as we see, like even into like episode 10, like Misty like takes all this and then she gets active with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like she goes after Stryker. She doesn't have him at first. Where can I find this guy? He's a ghost. Well, I know one guy who probably knows. She goes for Domingo, and like that, like mm-hmm. and like Domingo for everything bad he's done. Like he's a gangster and all that, but he knows where he is.
Domingo got shook. Like, yeah. when Stryker came in and just started offing people, like, Domingo lost all of that cool, but, like, I'll just throw Milky Ways on the ground swagger.
No, he was doing it in his gym. We saw Domingo throwing Milky Ways
in
his
gym.
I'm
so mad about that. I was like, what is your beef with Milky Ways?
His poor janitor with a broken arm because Luke broke it is in the back just using a push broom on half-eaten
That was such an
Milky
awesome
Ways.
Detail. Like, yeah. if you look in the gym scene in
right as Misty's walking in.
In the far back, you do see a guy with a broken arm, like, in a sling, and he's still doing work.
Still sweeping.
No, I bet you there's a lot of people yeah. who probably didn't see in the background, but he was the one that was most prominent because he was, like, trying to push the broom with one arm, and I was like, oh, sweetheart. That terrible. Is messed up. Yeah.
You don't get any paid leave when you work for a gangster.
You
right?
not. No, you're not. But I really like the chemistry between Domingo and Misty. Like,
oh,
yeah.
Not so close, though. I was like, back up, buddy.
You need to
back
take
up.
A step back. But their like, banter was so good cop, like,
so
bad
awesome.
Guy kind of situation. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, for someone who seemed like you would be, like, a side character or even, like, a caricature, Domingo has become a really interesting, like, person in this world.
Yeah.
Like, in the first episode, his interaction with Stryker was really, like, why am I alive? Why did you keep me alive? And then the second episode, him with Misty, where, like, again, like, the Marvel is so consistent with their Netflix shows on taking characters that feel like they should be in any other TV show that you see them once or twice, or they're just like this caricature and like you know exactly who they are no matter what, and making them these big three-dimensional characters
yeah.
mm-hmm. that are really interesting.
It reminds me of like Batman the Animated Series, the
yes.
way they use like the thugs and everything mm-hmm. that could
yeah.
be just disposable. And they give and it makes the show and the world much more full
yep.
because they're not just flat characters.
Yeah.
Well, but let's go back into like the Stryker storyline now.
Sure.
Cuz like especially in DMYCK, like episode 9.
DW,
yeah, well, yeah. I just wrote it down wrong.
Yeah.
never mind. but they're setting up this like total Godfather like scenario.
Yeah.
Like when he goes to Mariah and like he's basically like, we're gonna be running guns the same way. Like you're not yeah. she thinks she's gonna be able to like basically sell off like everything that like the sort of like selling off the territory, I think.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Like almost like she inherited real estate from Stokes.
What are we playing, and, Monopoly?
Yeah, but that's what it feels like. She's like, I have real estate in this game I don't want to play.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna sell it to you, take that money, and go back and start investing in like she's gonna go back try to actually make the Christmas Attic Center like a real thing instead yeah. of. Like
she's been saying she wants to go legit from the get-go, that she doesn't hustle. And I think it's so sweet, Mariah, that you thought anyone was going to let you get out of this.
I know.
Like, also, actions speak louder than words.
That, yeah. Yes. Like, yes, it does. But, I mean, at this point, I don't know if she again, we hear Stryker say, you either buy or you die.
Yeah.
You know, so she really has no options but to play ball. But what I like is that Shades is standing right behind. And we think, like, Shades got caught. Like, I was like, oh, no, yeah, Shades, deal.
He was gripping his fist, so I was like, crap, he probably wasn't supposed to be doing this.
But the minute those glasses come off, it seems like...
He totally knew.
We're in the game plan together. And, what are you grooming her to be? What do you need her to be? And what is your major plan?
She was just she's just a face. I'm a distraction.
I'm still wondering what Shades is up something game bigger. Is. Like, up something so I don't bigger. Feel like Shades is, like, fighting for Diamondback anymore.
No, yeah. He's making a plan for himself. When you control, like we were saying earlier, if you're the assistants and the assistants run Hollywood, not the executives, because they pass along all the information. And he's put himself in a position to be the friend and bad guy to everyone,
mm-hmm.
which means when the trigger gets pulled, he can easily slip straight to the top.
Yeah.
I feel like he's playing a chess game against like that no one else knows they're playing. He's just dominating, and I'm so excited to see what happens. I love this character.
Yeah,
he's a really good character.
Because he's the only one who seems to be truly just, like, surveying the territory and going about it, like, with a cool head. Like, Diamondback has, like, lost his mind.
He shot one of their guys with his fingers, but also a gun.
I wish you guys could have saw our faces when this happened, because we're like, okay, yeah, whatever. And then all of a sudden, as soon as the bullet went off, we all were like, what's happening?
Magic!
Joel's like, magic! And then it panned down, and it's like, oh.
I thought for like a hot second that maybe he had super strength and like flicked a bullet at him, and I was like, what's happening here? For like 2.5, I was like, oh my god.
Can you imagine if he was just like, like peanuts or something?
Yes.
He's like,
and death.
Dead. It's a cool. That would be a really cool.
But that was like a great, just like, it's like. But it's also setting up for misdirection.
Yep.
Like, we're like, so now, whatever we see him doing, like, we gotta be thinking, like, what's the misdirect that he's working towards?
Well, we even see the misdirect that with Mariah, the whole Black Scare analogy, where they use Luke Cage as a figurehead to arm a populace.
Yeah.
That if people are scared of a giant black man in a hoodie who's a monster, people are willing to buy guns and allow guns to be distributed to their police that are more powerful than the police should have. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, and then if the police have those guns, that means the gangsters want those guns too. And that means if the gangsters have those guns, then regular people want those guns to protect themselves from those gangsters, which is what exactly happened in the United States as well. But that's the big misdirect. They're using Luke to make all their money back.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy to me. There's one Luke, like, selling all of these guns. Like, if then that bullet hits a regular person, we saw what happened.
No, because we saw it in the gym. Sorry. We saw it in the gym, because when they were lighting them up, they were ricocheting everywhere. And I was like, this is not going to end well for anybody at this point.
There's only one Luke, but... This is a city that has seen more and more heroes popping up.
That woman in Hell's Kitchen broke that guy's neck because he was mind controlling.
Little reference. Because the end of Jessica Jones was
spoiler alert.
very publicized in this world. Like it was very much out there. Obviously, Daredevil is like people know that's happening. The incident, people saw all those. Like, there's constant references to Captain America. Like, you're not Captain America.
That's fair. Giant aliens rain from the sky. Yeah. I would also like a new superpowered gun.
I mean, that's just it. Like, it's
Sokovia.
The gun that you have, like, even if you have a gun, like, yeah, that's going to stop, like, inferior the two-bit now. Thugs yeah. that are nearby, but it is not going to be effective if someone, and, like, I think to this point, like, most people have been like, there are crazy vigilante superheroes, but there's only, like, five of them, they're in the Avengers, and, like, they're not coming for me. And then, yeah. like, Daredevil comes up, and that starts to get a little bit closer to home. And now Luke Cage is there, and you've now created a fear that he might be doing something actually dangerous. And vigilantism in New York City has become scarier and scarier because, keep in mind, this is post-Punisher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When he's gone out and truly gone on murder sprees.
Yep.
And if they think that Luke Cage has killed a cop, as, like, they set up in this episode, now the fear is really driving everything forward.
Yeah.
Because now there's somebody right nearby who might not
like that
be...
Like, people, like, know by face.
And yeah, it's not the devil of Hell's Kitchen where people, like, talk about it and pretty much know it exists, but you can't prove he exists.
They don't... Like, you don't see photos of Daredevil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Luke Cage, there's video of him lifting up giant pieces of cement looking for that picture.
Like, there's video of him getting shot by a cop, nothing happening, and then throwing the guy across.
Guys, well, like, and it's clear he's not afraid, too. He looks right in the camera and says, I'm Luke Cage. You know what I mean? Like, kind of making, which feels like a declarative statement of just, like, I'm here, and what can you possibly do about it?
And then I think that's what makes it worse for Luke Cage, is because he's used the name that people know him by. Like, before all this happened, people know him as the guy who worked at Pop's Barbershop, or the guy that walks around, or whatever. Like, they know him by name way before they even knew he had powers. Yeah. Now it's just adding to it. And that dash cam footage, I don't know how you guys felt about it, but that felt super real to me.
Yeah. Starting off in the cop car without really being able to see what was going on, but hearing that call, like...
Some guy drunkenly...
It sends me into a little bit of heart palpitations. I can't take it. Especially the image of just a guy in a hoodie walking.
Yeah, just walking.
And then, of course, the whole, like, questioning scenario afterwards of just, like...
I mean, I like that it wasn't just, like, two white cops. We had a white and a black cop, you know, even though the white cop was mostly talking the
entire
time.
Yeah, but the black cop is the one who was shot. Like, they were just blue in this moment.
Yeah, but that's what I liked about it, is that we didn't have, like, one or the other trying to, like, do whatever. They were both just being cops, period.
I think that was kind of speaking to the fact that racism is inherent in the culture. It's not... You know, you can be a black person and still feel those stereotypes, just like you can be a white person and stereotype white people. It's not just a, for lack of a better term, a black and white issue.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not solely racial. It's also a matter of class and social structure and everything else that's built around it.
And cultural cues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I really like the choice to use the dash cam as a camera because it really did put this into, again, it just puts it into the real world just a little bit, like a little bit more. Like, yes, this isn't quite the same. Like, it is there's more of a reason for them to at least stop and talk to this person because he's stumbling down
the middle of the street.
Yeah. And fits, like, the size of, like, a current, like, manhunt.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, drunk guy stumbling in the, like, where he shouldn't be walking. Okay, stop, find out what his deal is. The quickness to pull to, like, and the attitude was where it started to elevate because it wasn't he wasn't not complying. He was just asking questions, and that's when they took
questions
like,
that
up
you have a civil right to know.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's all I got.
Yeah.
Which that kid was awesome.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! That's
that kid is my hero. Like, practice his speech for when you go into a police station. Like, get it down.
Yeah. It also really showed because I'm always afraid, at least for my brothers and stuff like that, because they're in that same age group.
Yeah.
Is I want, you know, even though they're Filipino, it doesn't matter. I just want kids to have that knowledge of knowing if you get pulled into a police station, whether you're white, black, Asian, whatever, know that you don't have to answer any questions, that was pretty much it. It was just the fact that, especially if you know that you didn't do anything.
Right. Yeah. Well, and when you shouldn't say anything, even if you, like, did or didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Words can easily be twisted. Second of all, a kid asked for his mom. If you're underage, you are not allowed to be questioned by the police without a lawyer or your parent present.
Yeah.
Like, and then he asked for a lawyer. Be like, well, you don't need a lawyer if you didn't do anything. That's also bull.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You've asked for your lawyer. No, the conversation needs to stop right there.
Also, he wasn't arrested, so he could have just left.
Yeah. Right. Could have just walked out. But no, I think that was the one thing that gave me a red flag of what was happening was when he said, I'm asking for my mom. And he's like, why would you need to do that? And I was like, that's not That shouldn't even be a question. Like, you should be like, I'm going to go call her right now. Mm-hmm. Like, she should have been on her way.
Well, and the fact that the police officer then said, oh, you're not a hardened thug, because what kind of, like, criminal is the... Like, a hardened criminal does not ask for their mother first.
Yeah. And then, you know what I mean?
So he's so fully aware of the fact that this is just a child. And,
but
you
he
know,
still went off the rails, which made me so upset.
Oh, God. It's aggravated. Just beyond aggravation. Like, you know this kid's not doing anything.
And the fact
you
that
probably
he
probably could get more answers. If a mother who's a lawyer is going to be like... What do you know?
Yeah.
Like, comply so we can get the hell up out of here.
Yeah.
I just, to turn to fists is just ridiculous.
That was also an interesting, like, little twist that we weren't expecting, that, like, the mother was the woman we met in episode one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kid was getting his hair cut in episode one.
Well, he looked older. That's why, that threw me off.
I didn't recognize him at first.
Yeah. But, because he looked like he was younger when he was sitting in the chair. But remember, we never actually saw him fully stand up until... not the incident, but you know what I mean, where he's standing and talking to the cop and he's like, I don't know. And I was like, oh, okay, this is the same kid. But as soon as that cop told him to sit his ass down, I was like, this is not gonna end well. This is bad.
I also love that it wasn't that, like, this is an evil cop, he's a bad guy.
No, yeah.
It was, like you said, it was the person who trained him, and there is a guy with superpowers that, for all they know, is killing cops and, like, beating them up, and they can't stop them. So this is a police officer who, like Misty, is feeling helpless and is trying to make some sort of sense out of it.
Yeah.
And, like, they're doing it the wrong way. But they're trying to do the right thing, but they're doing it the exact wrong way.
Well, it just comes from an honest place.
Yeah.
Let's go back a little bit to the actual, like, Stryker setting up this, like, again, that Luke Cage just getting framed one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Hopefully for the last time. Good Lord.
Oh, man.
Stryker threw a knife.
That came later.
Oh, that was so cool.
Oh, no, it didn't. It came during the Godfather scene.
Yeah.
Where he just, like, takes out half the heads of the families.
Well, when we were watching it, and Mariah was like, I want to talk to the heads of all the gangs. I was like, they're all going to die.
And all of us were like, because even Zach was like, wait, like, the Godfather? And you're like, yep, exactly like that.
Part of me was legitimately just expecting, like... I know it wouldn't be opera in this case, some sort of, like, more operatic, like, hip-hop song.
Like a Jay-Z remix of a song?
Yeah, something like that. Awesome. That, like, we see each of them getting taken out, like, somebody's got, like, I don't know, I try to think of a joke about flowers. shotgun. But either way, then he threw the knife, which is an ode to the
comic book
the Stryker version of.
And that thing went right, what was that, straight into his eye?
Yeah, it did.
Jeez.
Shot a guy through the throat and another guy in the face.
Oh,
two
but
for
then,
one.
But then he takes, so, like, to set up to frame Luke Cage, he pulls out what I can only think to call, because of what it looked like and the appropriateness of the person who show this is, a power glove.
Yeah.
Why is he holding an old power glove?
That's really
Why do you have a 1989 Nintendo controller?
I actually still have power glove. And there was, like, I don't know what game it was for, but it was the
Duck Hunt gun.
Yeah, Duck Hunt gun. It doesn't work. But
I wonder if it's, and the fact that it's powered by, like, the backpack. I presume.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny. The fact that it's, like, got a charge and stuff. It feels very retro.
It was crazy to think that he actually thought of that. He's like, oh, what's a good way to frame Luke Cage without using anything that's, like, kind of, you know, that's half-assed? Let's use this power glove that will just shoot a person 20 feet up. Oh, there it is. Look at that beautiful son of a gun.
Yes.
Misty's right, though. It's such an obvious frame.
Yes.
Where it's like, I'm Luke Cage.
Guys, I don't understand why someone or a cop would be like, yeah, gotta be Luke Cage. I'm like, who in their right mind walks around like a Pokemon and says their name
Luke
while they're
Cage.
Kicking ass? I'm Luke Cage. Luke Cage. Pop, pop, pop. Luke, like, that's dumb.
I feel like, though, a lot of times the easy answer is the one people want to be right.
Of course,
because
it's
easier and faster to move on, and he's already got all this heat behind him.
My God.
Well, gotta use Occam's razor.
It really does look ridiculous. And I guess, but I'm assuming this also came from Hammer Tech, because it's probably related to the armor that, like, the Iron Man knockoff armor that Justin Hammer was making in Iron Man 2.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, you have to carry around a backpack to power it.
It looked like it was heavy, too. The guy looked like he was kind of wobbling back and forth, because it was probably heavy.
Mr. Goku Jr., like, crossbones. Similar
to that.
basically, like, you can get, like, a super strong punch in from tech as much as you can get it from superpowers. Yeah.
Or you can get it from a dragon.
No, we're not there yet.
I know, I'm just saying.
March 17th?
Yeah,
2017? Something like that. We can get they announced the Iron Fist release date. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, guys, in case you didn't know, it's coming March 17th, 2017. Be there.
And so while we're seeing all of these people gain power, at the exact same time, Luke Cage is bleeding out in Claire's mom's car.
Yeah.
He will not die in my mom's car.
Yeah.
I just feel bad for her mom all the time, just losing cars here and there. First one's bleeding out,
she
and
said
one,
it was
the
fine.
Other one's...
She's got the insurance. So long as Claire comes home, everybody's going to be square. I thought it was interesting that when they get to the doctor's house, I don't know what I was expecting, but sane and okay was not it. I figured, like, you know, you mess up pretty bad at the prison. Did they want to keep you? He said they don't keep a close eye on him anymore, but Luke kind of called bull on that. Yeah. I don't know, I just thought he would be in a more disheveled kind of worst place. I was surprised he was kind of up and on the street. Glad, obviously, he helped, but it's weird.
I don't know. I think that there's more to him, and that's why we obviously see the scene at the very end for him. So I feel like they're not done with him. He's just kind of there.
Yeah, I bet he's going to pop up in Defenders for sure. Mm-hmm. I thought that entire, like... The entire sequence was riveting.
Oh my god!
Like with all the pseudoscience you could ever want, Zach.
Ooh, yeah, I was like, I thought Zach's head was going to explode from all the science.
Next level, just like ridiculous. Like what?
Yeah.
So okay, so his skin's really hard. So we're going to bathe him in acid.
Who called it? This girl
dissolving the stuff.
Well, because I was like, there's no other way unless they get tech. But there's no tech, so
they effectively have to loosen the bond. So it's the same way that like heat makes things expand. I think the idea was you introduce enough heat and acidity to his skin, I think combined. I love that they said the words. I know this is so small, but the fact that they said the words healing factor, on a TV show.
I knew you were gonna bring that
it's
up.
It's real now, guys.
Like just bringing out everything for us.
That's like. Depth of comic stuff, because it's one thing to be like, oh yeah, he can heal, like he heals real good, characters just talk,
they say he heals fast,
they just say something, but healing factor is like, no, this is like a world of superpowers, so that you have to have descriptions for attributes that flow between different heroes, so different people have healing factor of different levels.
Like, healing factor is also
a
really gross reality TV show where judges see who heals better from wounds.
I would not watch that programming.
I would be there for it.
X.
This entire scene.
Rick is dead. X. He's not moving on to the next level.
I would love to watch Simon Cowell see how he handles that show. Yes. I love it because these guys make fun of me for it because I don't do well with gore because I'm very squeamish. I like faint at the sight of blood and stuff like that. But I watch the show because I love it. I just hide my face. But I love it because this entire scene was just me just hiding behind a wall. Is it over? Guys, it's over. They're like, no, not yet, sweetie. It's fine, Alexis. Just wait.
Alexis missed about 20 minutes of this episode.
I was listening. I was there. I was present. Just not fully. My eyeballs are not.
At one point, Alexis was like at the door, peeking into the room. It was adorable.
As soon as they said they were going to put a needle to get a blood sample into his throat, I was like, I'm done, guys.
Yeah. She was leaning through that door. I expected Huey, Louie, and Dewey to pop up above her.
They would have helped. At least they would have protected me. Okay.
So now look, we see Luke holding Claire's hand in this while he's getting his stuff drained, and she's like stroking his head. We said there's a lot of kind of pregnancy parallels.
Yeah,
she's like, just breathe, everything's fine. And he's like clutching his stomach, even though there's a bullet wound, not a baby. Well, it was just really funny.
Well, even the line, you are not dying in my mother's car, could easily have been like, this baby is not being born in my mother's car.
Yes.
Also, you already wrecked your mom's delivery van.
I mean, come on.
Delivery van? Pregnancy? Come on, guys.
And now her beautiful Hyundai is
blood-soaked.
Gross.
But they got there. They got the bullets out. Or at least they got him out of his stomach. Because they only showed pulling out one set of
shards.
Shrapnel.
Yeah.
From one angle. It feels like maybe they ran out of time with that set of being like, we have to move on. We got the stomach, like, that's good enough. They get it. Because it does sound like they got everything out, but we definitely don't see a shot of her by the shoulder.
That's why I was confused. I thought it was in the shoulder, but it wasn't. It was in his stomach, and I was like, I'm so confused. Also, he used an ultrasound, just saying.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they went to a women's clinic, yeah. I think, but the thing is, like, all of this kind of buries the lead on what the important part of them being there, which is unlocking the information on the jump drive.
Yeah, which is the drive that was introduced in Jessica Jones.
Yeah, the one that Reva died burying or digging up.
Mm-hmm.
One or the other.
She had hidden it in some concrete. They dug it up.
Yeah.
Her and Jessica dug it up
because of her superpowers.
Yeah. And then I don't think we ever found out really what Kilgrave's.
Well, no, because it's got all that super science in it, and Kilgrave is looking for his origins.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Because he wanted to know where his powers came from.
Yep.
And it has all of those subjects listed on that drive. So that's why he needed it. And then Jessica had it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that this is setting up more because we still don't know what, like, they've sort of disavowed this doctor, like, left him
to do whatever.
How cool was that
tearing down the barn scene?
Just I was freaking out.
Hold on, we'll get there.
Okay.
Calm down.
I'm so excited.
We're still talking about science here. But, like, they're still keeping tabs on him, and I think they very well might be IGH, which is the company that is responsible for both Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
And human growth hormone.
Yeah, you're not the first person to make that potential connection.
Yeah, I know.
I doubt that's what it is.
Me too.
I don't want the Netflix shows to start dragging Inhumans into it.
But why wouldn't they?
Well, here's the thing. Like,
not that knowing humans, it's too simple. Like, Marvel, I want them to be science-based, not alien-based.
Okay.
Marvel wanted to bring in humans into the fold a lot sooner, and then they pushed back the movie. And so, like, when they were writing Jessica Jones and Daredevil and all of that kind of stuff, it was at the point when Marvel was trying to bring in humans more into the fold. They're not doing that as much anymore. And I think they left it open that IGH could stand for Inhuman Growth Hormone, but never answered, like, never made that clear.
Well, it's a company name, not a drug name.
Yeah.
So I think it's a coincidence, and it's, like, a fun, like, thing that people caught on to.
Yeah.
I don't think that was ever what IGH was supposed to stand for.
Yeah, I think it might have been an illusion. Like, it could have been, like, you know, MGH exists in the Marvel universe.
Maybe. I think it's something people latched onto. Yeah. I think it was an accident on Marvel's case. That, like, if they had thought that people would think that, they might have changed the name. We still don't know. I'm pretty sure IGH is going to come to a head in Defenders. Like,
yeah,
it's threading through too many shows now to not. But either way, what we get by the end is that, like, not only do we know a little bit more about the experiments and what's behind them, but we know that Reva was a lot more connected these experiments than we ever suspected.
She was leading them.
That's crazy.
She was grooming Luke Cage for these experiments.
Yeah, like, it almost comes off like she was in charge of the thing.
Well,
yeah.
Like, she knew, she was the one who planned for him to go into the fighting pits. Like, that was her idea.
Yeah.
Like, all of that kind of stuff.
And then using squabbles,
and
too.
Using that talking turtle best friend.
Yeah, I was like, dear God, Reva, why?
Yeah, and poor Luke. I mean, and he even says, like, this was the one thing that kept me going through prison. And to have that kind of shattered, and to know, like, what was I living for? Like, he would have never met Pops if not for Reva.
True.
Like, there's just so much of his life. It's so, like, we saw, like, the first three episodes where he's still pining and longing for her, and he can't seem to kind of move forward.
But I'm glad that this happened so that he can move forward always.
To Jessica.
I feel like we still don't fully know what Reva was up to, because she was under brain control, right, when she dug up the thing?
When she dug it up.
Yes.
Oh, man. I really want Reva not to be bad. I but really like, need but that's some what we're getting right factor. Now. Yeah.
I think it's more complicated because I think she, you know, after she found Luke, she hid his identity. She changed their identity together, like that kind of stuff. Like, so I think it might have, it's something where it's like, there's definitely something more complicated than just she was using him.
And I obviously, it seemed like she did have technically a change of heart after all this happened. Because, I mean, I don't know why she would sit there and actually run away and not be able to give information. But then again, we don't really know what happened after
Perhaps after she says, like, give you my word. Because it's kind of hard to tell where those videos line up into the storyline. But it seems like that would be her turning point.
Yeah, it seemed like she's like, you changed mine. You know what I mean? So maybe that was her way of saying that you've changed my life. I want to be better.
Yeah.
That's what I was hoping. But I also liked how different she was in her like video blogs than she was in the scenes that we saw from Luke.
Yeah. It's just, it's very clear that this is a character with a lot more darkness about her. As we've seen with pretty much every character on the show, that there's a lot more darkness them meets the eye except when for Claire. We first see them.
Now Claire's kind of straight up.
She's like straightforward. Like we know exactly what her deal is.
Claire doesn't mess around.
No, she does not.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was like this episode specifically was like you were talking about it. Claire's night nurse now. Like she's like the
straight up.
The doctor was like, "You're better than I am at this,
and you're untrained.
And you're untrained. Yeah, and like." Like she was. This was like her origin story. Like these Netflix shows have just been the origin story.
The
for
Defenders is like it's like four to five heroes, and then just night all nurse. Behind night the leadership of Night Nurse.
We've been reminded by a producer.
Oh my god!
That when Luke.
Oh my god!
When Luke, Luke flatlines, she just goes and takes a hot plate and throws it in the water.
She's got a lab without a defibrillator.
Yeah, in my brain, I was going, "What kind of doctor are you?" I mean,
well, even with the saline solution, but I was like, "You have to measure. This is science." And she's like, "No, no. Bucket, just go. I got this."
And she just like dropped the bucket like in the water. She's like, "Whatever."
It's incredible to watch her like solve superhero problems. Like, this is stuff I feel like comics don't even fully get into. How, like, it's like, oh, and you're fixed, go out back into the world. But no, it's just to find real world solutions to fix these superhero problems. And it's like, and she's the only one who could do it. Give her her own show. I will watch it.
I mean, Rosario Dawson's murdering it in this show.
God,
she's
so
good.
I love her
so
much.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Stoop kids, hang out on YouTube. Being discovered.
That'll be like in the back of like the Heroes for Hire office. They have like Night Nurse.
I really hope so.
I would love that.
Definitely in her own office.
I am looking forward to like I assume that Claire Temple has to show up for Danny in Iron Fist.
Once
she does. Like, I'm really looking forward to the moment where all four of them get somewhere and Claire's just like, hey, guys. And they're like, how do you
know her too?
How? Luke and Matt are like, hopefully, did we both, like...
If they include the Excelsior Diner and bring in Stan Lee, I will die. I will die. Because that's their kind of hangout in the comics right now. They hang out at the Excelsior Diner. I really want this to come into...
I didn't know that,
actually. It's so great. And it's got all the hero, like, memorabilia on the wall. So it's so cool. I really want to see it done in real life.
There's a panel that just has Hercules in the back. Like, his famous panel with, like, the thumbs up like that. It's my favorite thing.
There's one with Stan Lee and all the spider people.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
What? That's awesome.
I'm just looking forward to Claire... and Misty part two.
Go down, sisters. Oh, speaking of, we had a scene with like five black women in charge doing their jobs, and Alexis and I almost lost it.
I was like, you guys should have seen Joelle and I just losing our shit.
It was so beautiful. There's so much conflict in my power moves. Because
we had Mariah, I can't remember the kid's name, but the mom.
His mom, yeah.
We had the new captain, and we had and Misty, and they were going at it, and I was like, this is nuts. There was nothing happening right now but just simple acting. Well, I mean, not simple, but you know what I mean. Like, it's just literally just words being retracted.
It's just like, fuck you, Bechdel.
No, like, seriously. It was just like, look at it.
And they're deciding, like, the future of Harlem in this room. Like, they're deciding the way things are going to go down in a political way. And it's so cool to see these women at the helm.
And they're beautiful. They all have, like, and they're all major roles. It's not like, oh, it's just a bunch of mothers sitting in, like, things. Like, one's a lawyer, one's a politician, one's a cop, and one's was like, ah!
It was wonderful. Which leads us to the final scene.
Well, hold on. Right? We skipped over the church.
Which was all the way back.
We can't skip it because it's this
beautiful scene. It's my favorite
beautiful
scene.
It's so good.
It's my favorite scene of all time.
The way that it's shot...
It destroyed Alexis's voice.
Yeah. The way that it's shot is just, it's so well thought out, well planned, used camera tricks to give this sense of emotion. There's a lot of different ways to do flashbacks. Mm-hmm. And we've seen them, we've seen a lot on this show, we've seen it a lot on a number of shows. But the shot where we follow young, Carl up, and then he's, walking up to, the dad's, rectory or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what the term is. I'm Jewish.
Yeah, I think it's just right.
And then, she opens the door, and you see adult Luke
in the mirror.
Oh, so freaking cool.
The scene play out. And you get the sense that he was there because they already established it so well with him coming in and seeing the old church turn to the new church all run down to a pristine old church. So they don't even need it, but they add it and it just hits you full impact because you get to see his reaction, which is so rare in a flashback to see unless you're coming out of it, to see a person in the middle discovering old information, stuff that they didn't realize they knew.
Yeah, and I liked powerful. That, and I liked the fact that it wasn't, because even most time when we see flashbacks, you usually see, their older self, in the background or something. But, I love how, the first immediate shot of us knowing that we're in a flashback is they're talking to Luke, but it's talking to us.
Yeah.
And I loved that the camera was a little lower to show that it was a child looking at an adult, and obviously we all knew what was happening immediately when Mrs. Stryker walked in. We're like, what?
And but kudos to Mike Coulter in the scene for, he's the biggest person ever.
Yeah.
But he manages, in that mirror shot when he's holding, and then when we cut back and he's holding the Bible, he manages to feel like a weak child in those shots. So it's just a kudos to the direction, to the acting.
Really, these two episodes, we get a lot of him being vulnerable. Yes. From the black power fist, if it's too much for you to handle, just raise your fist. And I was like, you guys are just going in. You're leaning in so hard. And then just his face, and to act behind a mask is so challenging. And for him to convey all of that fear and worry and concern and then pain, Coulter, the people who are challenging Coulter's performance in this can just leave. Just leave right now. I have nothing to say to you.
And I love that when we got to get out of the flashback, we had, Claire being like, Luke? And I loved because both women turned at that point in time, which we were like, wait, what? And then it was just, we were right back into reality. I was like, this scene was nuts. The blocking was perfect.
Also,
it was crazy.
Also, how great is it that it's an hour-long show on Netflix? Because I feel like in any other show, that scene doesn't exist. You just get the explanation of, my dad was also Stryker's dad, and Stryker always felt like I was better than him, even though my dad also didn't like me. And that's it. You don't get them going back to Georgia. You don't get them... You don't get that scene, and it's so much better to have a show not tell, part of it, because now there's, an emotional anchor that we see this fight with Luke and Stryker. It's something much more powerful than just hearing it, because we'd heard it, all the stuff that got revealed there, we'd either heard or put together, basically. There wasn't any big revelation, but it was still great to be able to see it instead of just hear it from characters.
Well, when we get the mother-to-son fights, too, because we see these mothers constantly encircling each other, trying to claim their, that this is their territory, and trying to pull power moves. Luke's mom says, I'll make sure that we stop sending checks, and he doesn't get to go to the fancy school. And so to see that and now know that it's transferred to the kids, but... that Luke wants to rise above, I am my brother's keeper. I was like, whoa. Y'all just dropping mad Bible verses on me in ways that are very affecting.
But I like that because of the fact that Stryker is such a biblical person, and that he lives by the book, no pun intended there, the fact that even Luke, who we've noticed, who doesn't really talk about religion that much, he was able to use this one reference of, I am my brother's keeper, and it just brought everything literally full frickin' circle, and that was just... That was, I don't know. Just that entire scene from start to finish was perfect.
Yeah. I want them to bring his dad in. I know he said it doesn't matter, but it matters to me.
Yes.
I want to know.
I mean, Stryker and Luke are both, intelligent people. They both read a lot. It's clear, there is, some similarity between them. I loved when when Stryker like references the 48 laws, whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then
so cool.
this is such a great moment because I feel like this will define like a way that we talk about like superhero like TV and movies for a while, because he says the 49th law, and then he basically just outlines like the rule of comic book shows, just like, if you don't find Luke Cage's body, he's not dead.
And I was like, which is what?
What we say about all, especially Marvel yeah. shows, is so now that is like, mark it down. That is now called the 49th
Hashtag
law.
Hashtag 49th law, guys.
Just
yeah.
like
a real
rule
thing
46,
now.
Like all the stuff on the mm-hmm. internet, like 49th law. If there isn't a body,
they're
not
dead. Yeah. I love it.
But so, yeah, so then we get this big end sequence at the rally, mm-hmm. and Mariah is just, like, preaching.
Oh, man, she was
reached
going
full
at
full political power yeah. as far as what you can be doing in the black community without having been elected. Like,
oh, wow.
rallying people together. Like, we see Good Job for Costumes doing extras. We've got all these, like, black power fists and mm-hmm. the Afro shirts, which I was like, I've been to these rallies and I know. And then, of course, she brings the Reverend on, and I was like, well, this is just
yeah,
real
this
life.
Is, yeah, this is, like, straight up out of, like, they went to a rally and was like, yeah, we'll just do that. That sounds great.
Except, will you guys follow us onto a set real quick?
Yeah. Hey, you guys can continue what you're doing. Just do it over here. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell the whole world.
Yeah.
Lots of cameras.
Yeah, lots of cameras. It'll be great. but also we get our skeevy, what's his face? I hate the one that was talking to Mariah in the crowd that we got that same scene where they were one-on-one.
Oh, the congressman or
yeah.
the...
Oh, yes.
The other politician, I can't remember his name. Yeah, where he's pretty much, he's trying to shake down Mariah, and Mariah's just not having it.
I really feel like he signed his death certificate yeah. right then
I'm
and
waiting
there.
For it.
Like, he should not have said anything, sir. But Mariah
should have showed up to the rally, period. He should have just backed off and just been like, oh, I don't want any part of this.
He outlined all of her lies and her plan right there. He's like,
yeah, he's,
you're using your base against themselves by selling guns to the police. He's like, you're just like,
I literally just wanted to give him a shovel. I was like, here you go. Yeah. You just dig your own grave. It's fine. Yeah. You'll be using it real soon.
And Misty, like, now she's got,
whoa,
she's got Stryker.
She got shot in the arm.
She did get shot in the arm.
It looks real bad.
Misty don't got much after where we left. Misty's down for the count. Luke is trying to save her.
And of course, they had the camera right on him immediately. They're like, there he is.
So
there's Luke Cage.
So it looks like it reminded me of like King Kong imagery, where he had her in his arms and like people were shooting at him and he was like trying to run away with this woman and like they were shooting. Like, number one, this is a rally where there are all these innocent people and they're just
and
shooting machine guns
which
into the
which you know
crowd.
Will not stop Luke. There's
yeah.
one bullet that can pause Luke, like,
yeah.
and you're not using that. So it's just
I thought it was
there.
Very interesting. I mean, I don't think they were expecting Luke Cage to show up, so I'm assuming that's why they didn't have the Luke Cage killing guns. But
yeah.
like at the same time, I'm like, why the hell do you have so many guns at a rally? What were you expecting?
Well, they're gangs. I mean,
it's a gang headquarters.
It's Stryker's gang. Like he,
I don't know. I just didn't think. I don't know if they thought that through because there's a bunch of innocent people, moms, kids, like normal folk. And mm-hmm. they're just shooting up the place while there's people running around. Like
this
there was one
not
point where
help your cause.
Yeah, like no. she, like there was one time when Luke hero stanced into the actual club itself, and he was trying to jump over the bar, and there was a woman that was trying to get around
yeah.
like video game status. Like, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And like she almost got shot. And I was like, this is what I'm talking about.
I mean, the
here.
Only positive thing I can net from this is that Luke never has a gun in his hands in this scene, not even to crush it.
Yeah.
And all we do is see him save a woman, like,
yeah.
or
well,
at least
you know,
not
that's not how
her.
It's gonna,
and,
it's not gonna
right.
pan out that way, but yes.
Well, part
correct.
Of me hopes that, like, they look at the, like, people look at that footage and see him, like, saving a woman who I'm assuming they'll know quickly enough is a cop. Like, he saves somebody.
And we've now
like,
seen
while
a cop.
Getting,
like, the, say, like, he saved a cop.
Or they'll yeah. see that footage and say he's trying to kidnap a cop.
Yeah. That was, no, that's exactly what's gonna end up happening.
Also, but what does it say about how Stryker feels, like, secure that he's able to open up and shoot a cop in front of a giant crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a crowd.
Yeah.
Because he had no idea that Luke was there. So he was there ready to murder a cop in front of a giant crowd and media.
and like how secure or confident he feels that he's not going to go to jail for that.
I'm also upset that Misty went in there by herself again.
Yeah.
When she just had the same exact experience.
We just went through this, Misty.
I was like, Misty, you went through a traumatic experience being by yourself dealing with the same person. So why in God's good grace would you go by yourself to the same...
She's still not ready for a partner. She's still got the trust issues.
Yeah, well, I agree.
She's going to probably have to like have two partners that she works with very closely. Like Luke Cage,
and then a martial arts expert. All I'm saying is now that she is injured, she's also going to be really upset because now she's going to be like, I can't do anything right now. We're like, you sure about that? There's a thing that you can have a bionic arm and you can just see a village.
Tony Stark's just up the street. Yeah. Say hey. I don't know.
Well, we don't even know. You think he's upstate now?
Is he?
At the HQ.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I mean, we know Hammer makes arms. We know he makes power gloves. Why can't
power
he make,
gloves? Why not make an arm?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be gold, though.
Yeah, it does have to be gold.
It doesn't have to be gold.
No, it does.
No, I mean, I would be happy if it was gold.
I like the red one.
The red one's cool too. Either way.
I was going to say, because the main image I have of her is like in a red bodysuit.
Yeah, with the gold arm. Yeah, I'm on the same boat.
Just like maybe as a gag, we had with Luke, but like, no.
Like, this is the first model. Just cast it in gold for no reason.
I would love that. She's like, this is gaudy shit.
Gold is so bendable. Like, it's not good, malleable rather.
The lightest metal known to man. Gold. It's not heavy at all.
Thanks, guys.
Last thoughts on these episodes. Overall, here's where I am with the show at this point, because I'm really enjoying it. There's something that I'm noticing about this show, and I think it's something that I've felt... It's more so on this one, but it still, I think, applies to the other shows. The thing that's really interesting about Netflix shows, especially the Marvel shows, is that when you examine them episode to episode, like we've been doing, the episodes themselves are not individually necessarily strong episodes of television. Mm. It's the plotting across the whole series is so strong that it doesn't really matter, almost. But, like, episodically, and even for a serialized show, it's interesting to see that they almost don't seem to care. Mm-hmm. Like, there is sort of, like, separation in terms of artistry. Like, this episode, we're going to have this through line. This episode, we're going to do these things. But it's interesting to see that they very clearly, and it's just stuck out more on this show than others. They've given more effort into the show as a 13-part like movie,
yeah,
as opposed to a series with individual episodes.
Well, and they're miniseries, and they're comic books that are meant to be watched. They pace themselves out just like comic books. I've seen a lot of television fans who are like, I can't watch these shows. The pacing is, terrible. I think what they mean is slow. But I really adore this pacing. I love getting to know characters. It's what I've loved about watching the standard 22-episode series on TV. Here, Netflix gives us an opportunity to do it quickly, to really do a deep dive, binge it fast, and walk away with a new feeling and a new story.
Yeah.
And I think it's an amazing model, and I really hope they don't flinch on it, because it's perfect.
Yeah, I think they're made to be binged.
Yeah.
Like, they don't think that someone's going to take 13 days to watch this show. They think you're going to take 1 to 2 days.
Yeah.
And it's an experience. And then you can go back, a couple of weeks later, and then go watch back individual episodes or, like, re-see moments that you liked. But they're definitely telling a 13-part story.
Yeah. I also love the fact that even though most people would usually take about a day or two to go through these shows, it also shows that if people who don't have the time to sit there for 2 days to stream that they know, like, hey, I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but I want to watch this with you. And it's something that we can rewatch over and over and over with people who haven't seen it, people who have. And, like, you guys are the fans who are watching, too. Like, the fact that we're taking a Saturday every time to talk about 2 or 3 or 4 episodes a week, and you guys have already seen it and still can be excited about it after. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I've seen the pilot to Jessica Jones 4 or 5 times, showing it to people.
Yep, same.
Just being like, if you think Marvel is just, like, dumb superhero stuff, watch this episode and tell me it's not something bigger than that.
Oh my god, yes.
And I love dumb superhero stuff.
I'd
be okay if it was dumb superhero stuff, but the thing that makes superheroes compelling, which these Netflix shows are nailing, mm-hmm. is the fact that they're not perfect.
Yeah.
And that they're vulnerable and that they're humans underneath their super strength or their super agility or their unbreakable skin.
Yeah.
And that's what these shows are nailing. Like, so hard.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I'll watch the crap out of The Flash.
Mm. Sure.
But give me a Jessica Jones or a Luke Cage any day where I am getting to see people.
Yeah.
On my TV. People just, who just happen to have superpowers.
And this level of villains, especially for a company who gets so much slack for their villains continuously, Marvel was just like, oh, yeah, just wait, we've got you guys covered. Don't even worry about it. We're about to create real people who do terrible things for reasons that you can fully understand back and support. It's incredible what they've been able to do with, like, as you predicted, you know, leading with Cottonmouth and then introducing us to Black Mariah, and now we have Diamondback, and it doesn't feel like too much. Like, how many times
they're watching? Not supervillains. They're people that have gone through terrible things and are now the reaction of that or whatever, you know.
Kilgrave, Mariah, and Kingpin are maybe my three favorite characters in the Netflix series, and they're also like not good people, like
but they're the most interesting.
Mariah, sure, to me is way more interesting, and to be honest, I'm not as in on the Diamondback character
as a villain.
Right now, to be honest, I'm finding him kind of weak.
Yeah.
The brother thing just didn't sit right with me. It's too like clean of a connection. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the idea that I would much rather just be a gang boss
who
this guy's messing with my business. Like, I much prefer the dynamic between Fisk and Daredevil, where it's that these, it would be like, imagine if Fisk and Daredevil had been like buddies growing up.
Yeah,
that's so weird
that,
to me.
But that, to me, that's what it feels like with Diamondback.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
It would be more interesting if Diamondback was just like a hitman who's never met someone he couldn't kill.
Well, yeah, that's what that's what I was thinking of. Was I thought that that Diamondback was going to be like, if anyone's a Firefly fan, of that bounty hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Who came in, who was just like, I'm just here to just collect bounty and cause problems, and I couldn't kill you, I'm coming back for you, like things like that.
Like, I love the angle now that we're seeing with him with the guns and the strategy of we're gonna corrupt people strategically, again reflecting real life, because this is how like we were saying when we were watching, gun laws got passed with this kind of fear.
Yeah,
like giving people this fear, and that manipulation is fascinating.
Yeah,
I just didn't need him to be Luke's related brother to justify it.
That being said, we wouldn't get that amazing church scene.
I know.
So it's worth it for me.
But you almost could have, if you still had like the brother framed him thing.
Yeah,
which is what happens here. And also, like, that was a little cartoony.
Yeah,
in the he messed with facial recognition or whatever, or like put on, didn't he like fake his face or something in the papers, like to frame Luke for Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I couldn't remember because it was hard for me to read what those old newspapers that Misty was trying to read.
Yeah, they're going real fast.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know what's happening. I just know there's some sort of relation.
I'm just still waiting for Mariah to fully form and come into
her getting
own.
There. We're building.
You're waiting
and
for her.
I'm waiting for the... I like the build.
Put on a tracksuit.
And start sitting on people.
No.
I hope that we get her, she's, going for a run or something. No,
what I'm looking for is her slipping into the Biggie picture and having the crown on. Because
we talked
we were watching about how that crown keeps standing in between two people. And sometimes it'll be slightly on somebody, but then in the next shot, it's in between two people. And it's not clear who's running things right now.
Which is cool, because the fact that it's just in the middle, too. It's just kind of like, what's going to happen?
I wouldn't be surprised if we ended
with Mariah.
With her in the crown.
That would be great.
I can't believe
I can't believe we only have three episodes left with all this information. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah. All right, guys. Any last thoughts on these episodes or favorite moments you want to call out? I do have the lyrics.
Okay.
I'll do those. And then, so you guys have time to think.
Yeah, I need to collect
thoughts.
Collect
your thoughts. Think back over the episode, favorite moments. Chat, also let us know your favorite moments from these episodes.
You missed it. There was a whole Turk conversation happening in the chat of like, where's Turk now? Someone's like, Wakanda, New Orleans. Like, they're literally just like,
he went back to Hell's Kitchen where
I know,
it's safe.
But I think a lot of people were just, I can't, oh, I have it here somewhere.
If he's in New Orleans, he's there with Brother Voodoo and Son of Satan.
Yes.
Doing CSI Ghost New Orleans.
More Marvel shows I would watch.
Yeah.
All right. So a lyric I thought was just appropriate for episode 9, DWYCK. Crazy as I want to be, because I make it orderly. You could say I'm sort of the boss, so get lost. The brother that will make you change opinions. That's exactly what Diamondback's doing. He's going to change your opinions on weapons and gun control and everything about how the police should be handling people and just changing your opinion on Luke Cage.
Also, DWYCK stands for Do What You Can, Kid. Letting you guys know that.
Which is also a mess. That's a message for Luke.
Yeah.
Like, he's just got to do whatever he can.
Well, and Mariah, too.
Yeah.
And that kid that got beat up.
He did everything he could.
Was that 9 or 10?
Oh, that was 10. Yeah.
That's take it personal, which he should.
Yeah, that kid should take it personal.
That kid's a future superhero vigilante.
Yes. I hope so.
Or be a lawyer and join Foggy.
Oh.
Help out like your mom.
Legal assistant. Chess club.
Yeah.
All right.
If that guy becomes a legal assistant, Marvel's the best.
Truly.
Take it personal. I thought that this piece really stood out to me. I never thought that you would crab me, undermine me, and backstab me. But I can see clearly now the rain is gone, the pain is gone. But what you did was still wrong. There was a few times I needed your support, but you tried to play me like an indoor sport. I mean, there's like Luke was backstabbed by, like, he knows his brother.
Mm-hmm.
But also his brother feels like he's backstabbed by Luke.
Yeah.
Actually, and then, but now Luke also feels like he was undermined and like Reva.
Yeah.
He feels like came back at him and like really, like, he doesn't know how to trust. Like, this is someone who was his wife.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now it turns out, like, here's the thing. Get that hotel scene when she was like, I'll tell you all about it someday. Like, that was, like, right after they got out.
Yeah.
But the fact that she never told him after they escaped, moved to Harlem, got married, or, like, wherever they moved. Like, they got married. Yeah. And
changed their IDs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she still never filled him in on everything that was going on. So I completely think Luke is justified in not trusting her. Because right now, I wouldn't trust her.
Yeah. No.
What's happening in the chat?
Panther 7 said, who else thought the kid was Miles Morales for a second after he said his mom was a lawyer?
That's not...
Wait a minute.
That's not what happened.
But if it did happen...
You shut up, Panther 7. You don't play with my heart like that.
There was a rumor recently that the kid that played Lucas on Stranger Things was in consideration for a Marvel role.
And
my brain immediately jumped, and I'm like, Miles?
No, I did not like that character. The actor's great. Don't like that character. Lucas can go himself, because I was so mad at him during the whole time.
He was the only one making actor. A plan.
No, that's fine. I don't like the fact that he was always treating people like crap.
All right, we're not, guys.
Sorry, we can't get into straight
on topic.
Sorry.
All right.
Favorite moments?
Favorite moments that we didn't get a chance to talk about.
Shout out to Big Pharma keeping people sick and taking our money.
Yep.
As Stryker so aptly.
Oh my god. Said.
Alexis, anything?
I don't even know how to go after that.
Anything from the chat?
Well, everybody else was talking about, actually, that's what I wanted to talk about, was the Luke and Claire scene we got right before.
We had a little bit of sexual tension.
That was
my part,
and then
too.
Luke just like.
But let me, because we saw the little. And
questions. Poll, quick. Do you ship it? Joelle.
Joelle. She ships everything.
I ship everything. All right. They're so cute. So yes, please.
Alexis?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'd like to see them together.
Yeah,
Jesse?
I mean, I'm a Luke and Jessica guy. I know how it ends.
Yeah.
But they called her his rebound. And then, like, episode 1 or 2, they were like, that was just your rebound chick. And I just feel like, oh my god, they're so cute together. I love Jessica, but I don't know.
I'm with Jesse on this one. I like Claire and Luke. They do have a chemistry, but I feel like they are just like best buds. With Jessica and Luke, it was a
super strength sex, guys.
I did think about that though. Super strength sex.
Not only that, but like they also just like in terms of like you want to talk like long term, like will like to me that is a that is an end game, and not even just because of the comics. Like that is end game to me,
right?
Because I could see them like leaning on each other as they both have to deal with all of this stuff together.
Right. Yeah.
Well. I don't know. I'm not very like well versed in the Marvel comics, but for some odd reason, I thought someone told me that Claire and Luke Cage dated at one point.
Yeah,
in the
they did before Luke and Jessica get together.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
So what I like about the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that it can take turns that the comic didn't take see alternate realities.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just want to see an alternate reality. Like, I have Luke and Jessica in the comic books, and they are so cute, and their daughter is so precious.
Yeah.
But I kind of just want to see Claire and Luke in the show.
I just liked on Jessica Jones.
They're just two beautiful
really...
human beings.
Sorry, what?
No, I was just saying.
Our bisexuality is coming out.
Yeah, like right now.
Beautiful
like,
people, do it.
Do it,
love
do it,
it,
do it, do it, do it.
For me, it was in Jessica Jones. There was a way that they like they made each other better.
Sweet Christmas.
They did though. Like Luke made Jessica a better person.
True.
And yeah. I felt like Jessica sort of brought Luke like
evened him out.
Yeah, evened him out in a way where he like was sort of like more willing to be out in the light.
Yes.
And that's why I still ship
the
two of them. But Claire does like the two of them are very cute.
I also still love Claire Devil as well.
Claire Devil. Awesome.
Yeah.
Two Claw in the chat was like, three-way, Claire, Jessica, and Luke. And I was like, well.
Well, we're there.
You know,
you did it.
You know, Joelle,
you fixed
and I would be
it.
All
we're
over
all
that.
About
like,
this.
Yes.
I mean.
Do it.
I mean, sure, Marvel. Let's see that.
I'm down
I was like,
for
well,
it.
Like, Joelle and I are going to be doing the
right.
Sensei panel, so I'm down for a
all
Marvel
right.
orgy.
Let's wrap it up here, guys. All right, guys,
this room increased in heat by about 20 degrees over the last 5 minutes.
Thank you so much for joining us, guys. Seriously though, thank you for joining us this Saturday again for the Luke Cage After Show. Those of you who are listening later, thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to go on to iTunes or to YouTube and hit us with a review on iTunes. Let us know what you want to see more of on the show. Let us know what you think. If you're on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button. It helps us, all that helps our searchability, helps other fans find it. We want to be the best Luke Cage panel we can be, so
heck
that's
yeah.
how we can do it. So thank you, guys. Thank you to Steve for coming on a Saturday
Steve.
Engineer.
Steve!
In the ones and twos back there as we start rolling some more Gangstar.
Yeah.
Guys, I have been your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at that Zach Wilson, THATZACHL. You know what? That
you
Zach
got
Wilson.
It.
You,
yeah,
got
you
got it.
It.
You got it.
You're right there.
We are tired.
You can it's been a marathon, and I've got more episodes to watch after this.
Yep.
We're gonna be back with episodes 11 and 12, and then another after show for the finale next Saturday, October 15th. But until then, tune into the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show on Tuesday night with me and Jesse. We are, I believe, going to be talking to the costume designer about everything that went into this season. And like, there's some stuff she's excited to talk to us about from an upcoming episode. Ghost Rider. There's a lot of cool costume stuff going on that show. Be sure to check us out there.
I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. And every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Check out nerdsofcolor.org for my review of Birth of a Nation. Come back to AfterBuzz TV tomorrow, Sunday, 9 p.m. Westworld. It's already up on HBO Go right now, so you can watch episode 2. It's my new favorite show. So come join us and we'll talk about it.
I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me all over social media as atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-E-S-890. I'm also going to be here tomorrow for Bob's Burgers because it's back and it's awesome. Monday, we're doing Timeless at 8, mostly just because Zach and I are always on the same page about that. But definitely want to talk about time travel. Check us out there. I work with Frank Moran, and he's an amazing human being.
Sure.
And then Wednesdays, Lethal Weapon. It's coming back. We missed last week because I was out, but definitely come back because we're covering two episodes. It's going to be awesome.
Hi, everyone. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. I just did Jash Plays Aristocrats, where it's three comedians get to play Dungeons & Dragons for 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
It was so much fun. You can find that at Jash Play on YouTube. On Tuesday, you'll see me with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. On Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, live, me and Zach do Sci-Fi Weekly. Are we talking about...
This week, we're talking about Alien.
It's my Woo! Favorite movie of all
and
time.
And whether it's the best horror sci-fi.
It is.
You'll know my answer immediately. And then Wednesday, the 19th, if you live in Los Angeles and you like comedy, my sketch team Haymaker is having its one-year anniversary.
Woo-hoo!
It's
awesome.
Going to be insane. 10:30 at the Pack Theater.
They are insane. The Pack Theater is amazing. Go watch
be
these
there.
Guys.
Pack Theater was just named the best comedy theater in LA.
It was. Yeah. It's so cool. Yeah. And it's cool. Like, what, we've been 7 weeks for like...
3 months.
3 months. Yeah. 7 days a week. 7 weeks.
Yeah.
It's almost been like, it's barely yeah, it's been more than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, this has been the Luke Cage After Show.
So much fun.
Thanks for geeking out with us.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buy or die.
Later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.